Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this second Sunday after Pentecost. I'm happy to see all of your faces. I'm glad you could be with us this morning. I have a couple of announcements. There will be a service of healing on Thursday, this upcoming Thursday, June 6th, at Glenshaw Presbyterian Church. Emily and I did this together last year, and we really enjoyed it, and it was meaningful for a lot of the people who attended. If you or someone that you love is having a tough time, physically, emotionally, spiritually, this is a great time to be with us. We will have prayers and anointing and a couple of activities set up for you. So that's Thursday at 7:30. Also, I forgot to announce this last week, but Mickey and I were talking about music for the summer, and maybe you have some hymns that we haven't sung in a while, or that you just really like and you want to make sure that you hear this summer. Share them with Mickey and I. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table there. Write down the hymn, preferably if you could use either the purple or the red hymnal, that would be great. If you have another song that you would like to sing and you have music for it, as long as it's not like a symphony, Mickey could probably accommodate that. So make sure that you sign up for that in the back, and we'll intersperse them throughout the summer. Also, I want to let you know that on Saturday, June 8th, at the Braddock Civic Plaza, Ceasefire PA is hosting a Wear Orange Pittsburgh to honor survivors of gun violence and to build community with those who are working to end gun violence. The hope is that together we can all call for meaningful action to help save lives. So that's Saturday. I'll be there. I'll be wearing orange. That's Saturday, June 8th, this upcoming Saturday, from 2 to 5 at the Braddock Civic Plaza. And there is I know it never happens in Pittsburgh, but there is a rain location for it as well. Am I forgetting anything? Are there any other announcements I need to? No. Okay, sounds great. Well then, family, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship with our call to worship. We come together to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Renew us by your Spirit, Lord. We come together to praise God with festive songs and shouts of joy. Renew us by your Spirit, Lord. We come together to hear the voice of our Savior calling us to compassion. Renew us by your Spirit, Lord. We come together to experience the abundance of God's grace. Let us worship God. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Come Sing, O Church in Joy.
Thank you.
The hardness of our hearts grieves God. We prefer to follow our own counsel rather than to seek and submit to the counsel of God. Confessing our sin, may God soften our hearts and guide our feet to walk in the ways of faithfulness. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of the outstretched arm, though you lead us into freedom, we choose again and again the chains of sin. Forgive us, we pray, for bowing to the false gods of our time. We believe we had made ourselves rather than being made in your image, the work of your hands. We practice legalism against others, yet expect exceptions for ourselves. We rest in ease while others bear heavy burdens on our behalf. Heal us where we are withered in hand or heart or faith. Stretch us beyond what we have imagined to live as you intend and command. In the name of Christ, who came to set us free. Amen. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Christ lifts the heavy burdens of sin and frees us for new life in his name. Trust that you are forgiven and be at peace. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our choir's anthem. Amen. I didn't realize that kind of beauty could come from just four of you. It's lovely. Thank you. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of grace, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath rest. You have not created us for endless labor, but have instead created us in your image. You created the world and called it good, and you give us the power to create beauty too. You fashioned the world for love, and you call us into the work of love. You rested on the seventh day, and you invite us to rest too. Help us to accept the good gifts you offer to us. Teach us to resist the temptations of our productivity-obsessed culture. Give us the grace to close our laptops, turn off our phones, and to make time for connection of wonder and joy. We pray for all of those who are overworked, either by necessity or out of anxiety. We pray for those who work endlessly but still don't have enough to make ends meet. We pray for those who are searching for work without success or who find themselves unfulfilled by the work they do. Provide for all who are in need. Lord, grant rest to exhausted bodies and frazzled minds. When we have the opportunity to ease someone else's burdens, move us to offer grace and lead us to seek social changes that would enable all to have good work to do, enough to meet their needs, and freedom to enjoy the life that you have given to us. We pray too for your overworked creation, sovereign God. Remind us of your commandment not only to let ourselves rest, but to let the earth rest as well. Curb our greed and teach us to reduce our consumption, that the ecosystems you have created would have the chance to flourish alongside the human beings you have created. Make us partners in your healing work, Lord. We also pray for those who we love and who are in need of your healing body, your healing in body, mind, or spirit. Loving God, we especially pray for Edward Charters, a brother of visitors today. He's 81 and having diagnostic procedures tomorrow for some difficulties, memory issues, and things with his arteries. We also ask that you care for Andrea Tweedy, daughter of AJ and Suzanne. Oh, man. Tweedy will be having a surgical procedure tomorrow to remove a stent, and we ask that you keep her safe and the procedure goes well. Loving God, we ask that you tend to the sick and bind up the brokenhearted, draw near to the lonely and soothe the anxious, comfort all of those who mourn, make us instruments of your peace and bearers of your compassion. Lord of all, we pray for the church in this place and in every place. Fill us with deep and holy joy that we might reflect your goodness to the world around us. May we join you in drawing the whole creation into your divine rhythms of work and rest. We ask all these things in Christ's name, and together we pray as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, You Are the Healing. Please be seated. God lifts the burdens from our shoulders and frees our hands from work, giving the gift of regular rest. What then shall we lift up to God in thanksgiving? In freedom and in joy, we give back to God a portion of all we have received, that others may rest in fullness of life. Provider God, we give you thanks for all your good gifts to us, for work and rest, for creativity and play, for this community in which to practice our faith together. Take these offerings we bring today and use them to meet the needs of those around us. May our work and witness reflect our belief in your compassionate care for us and for all you have created. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verse 6, from the New Revised Standard Version. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to them, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some of his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Holy God, as a deep breath fills our lungs with air, so fill us with your spirit as we hear your word this day. Ground us in your love, convict us with your truth, and move us to respond, that we may embody your good news in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I tell you what, Jesus sure knew how to get in trouble. He had to have known that he was really, really irritating the powers that be. There's just no way that he didn't know what he was doing. Jesus was an expert in religious law. He studied the same things that his contemporaries did. But his understanding went a little deeper than that strict letter of the law. And the religious leaders of his time saw the way that Jesus lived out his interpretation of the law, and they thought that he was purposely defying everything they knew about how to honor God. Okay, so there are a lot of laws outlined in the Bible. 613 of them. Today, as Christians, we tend to focus on the Ten Commandments. Does anyone know, you don't count, where we find the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Exodus? And where else? No. The yes, the front cover. Exodus and Deuteronomy. And a lot of those other 600 some laws, a lot of those are found in Leviticus. Can anyone tell me what the fourth commandment is?
Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy.
That is actually a trick question. That is, for us, yes, that is the fourth commandment. Other traditions do number the commandments differently. So for some, that's the third commandment, but we see it as the fourth. So as a commandment, Sabbath seems to be a pretty important part of our lives as Christians, of living out our faith. It's on par, it's listed with those other ones like don't lie, don't steal, don't kill people. But Sabbath isn't, it's not just a uniquely Christian idea. We know that our Jewish siblings do have ways of honoring the Sabbath. They're actually very, very good at it. And our Muslim siblings and Baha'i, Buddhists, some Native Americans, just to name a few traditions that you wouldn't think of having some sort of Sabbath, they incorporate, they don't call it Sabbath keeping, but that's basically what it is. They add that into their practices. But what does Sabbath mean? Like, how are we supposed to remember the Sabbath? And what does it mean to keep it holy? So do any of you have any Sabbath-keeping practices? Anyone? No? Coming to church? Yeah. That's what that I will admit. Keeping Sabbath is a very difficult thing for me. And I try very, very hard to set aside Fridays as a day that I don't do any church work, very ironically. But there are some times that there are things that just have to be taken care of. Unfortunately, yins don't tend to schedule your emergencies. And sometimes there are meetings or community events that are scheduled on a Friday and I need to be there.
I still enjoy it, right? But I'm not actually fully setting aside that time for God. So the priests in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders that believed that everyone could and should be priests and live like priests in their everyday lives. And they encouraged everyone to follow the religious laws found in the Torah. But they also wanted people to follow the oral traditions that were passed down from Moses. And they had very, very thorough and detailed descriptions of how to not honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So there are many sects of Judaism that still follow these prescriptions for the Sabbath. Every week, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, Jewish families refrain from work. And by work, I don't mean not going into the office or the job site. There are 39 types of work activities that are forbidden on the Sabbath, and each one of those 39 have even more details below them. And as we get more technologically advanced, those start to change too. There's no planting, there's no gathering, sorting, grinding, cooking, no cutting, laundering, weaving, or sewing, no hunting, fishing, preserving, no writing, editing, transporting, constructing, or demolishing, no lighting or extinguishing of a fire. Within each of these categories are details about what they mean. And there is one and only one exception to these prohibitions on the Sabbath: saving a human life. So you can put out a fire if someone is burning. In this passage, though, the first no-no that Jesus and his disciples committed was to pick grain in a field. Now, the issue wasn't that they were picking grain from a field that wasn't theirs. That is actually explicitly permitted by the law, so long as it's not done with a tool. The violation here was that they were performing a combination of reaping, gathering, and sorting on the Sabbath day. Something important for you to note: Jesus wasn't trying to hide anything from anyone. Everything he and the disciples did, it was out in the open. And at the same time, the Pharisees weren't sneaking around or furtively spying. They knew there was something remarkable about Jesus, and so they followed him. Jesus was well aware of their presence. They followed him because there was something really cool about this guy. He had some sort of connection to God, but what was it? But the Pharisees, they see this infraction and they call it out right away. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus doesn't affirm this or deny what's happening, but he does ask a counter question. I am still just so jealous of the way that Jesus can ask a counter question to avoid answering the original question. So he asks another question, and he brings the conversation to a whole different level. And he asks the Pharisees about a time in the Bible, it's in 1 Samuel, about when David and his companions, they're eating consecrated bread at the temple while they're on the lamb. And the suggestion that Jesus is making here is that the disciples are gathering the grain, they're picking it in order to eat it because they were hungry. Just the way that David and his companions were hungry. Then we get to a different Sabbath, a different day. They're in the synagogue. And again, Jesus knows that these people are around. He knows that there are some Pharisees that are looking to find fault in Jesus' actions. Ironically, they know Jesus has the power to heal, but they still seem to be just waiting for him to make a mistake. They're just waiting for him to use this power. I don't know about you, but if I came across someone who had the power to heal someone with a word or a touch, I might not be too picky about when they decided to use those powers. I might pay attention to the other things that this miracle worker said and did. So Jesus still, he initiates healing a man that had a withered hand. He asked the man to stretch out his arm, and immediately it's restored. Gasps! Ah! Shock, amazement, pearl clutching. Again, there is one exception to the prohibitions against work on Sabbath: saving a human life. And the implication here is that this man's injury wasn't life-threatening. Surely Jesus could have waited a day, right? But Jesus asks the rhetorical question, what's lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or evil? To save a life or to kill? Do we exist just to keep the law? Are our traditions and interpretations of religious and secular laws, are those things more important than the well-being of our fellow humans? If you take absolutely nothing else from what I'm saying today, please take this. Jesus is not abolishing the observance of the Sabbath. Jesus is not even saying, hey, you can make up your own rules about what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath was designed for the human need to rest, to raise us above our endless hours of toil and earthly labors, to take time to commemorate God's creation, to have a brief taste of God's kingdom, and to rejoice in God's endless presence. And Jesus is saying, when we get too technical about following the rules, not just the rules about Sabbath, when we get too technical, we end up harming people. And when we harm other people, we're violating the deeper intent of the laws. The deeper principle of doing good is what should govern our behaviors during the Sabbath. And also every other day. Jesus isn't anti-tradition. Jesus is pro-people. While I was reading through this, I found it really interesting. I'm looking through some of the other miracles, some of the other healings of Jesus. I found it really, really interesting that every healing that is initiated by Jesus within the Gospels, every healing that's initiated by Jesus happens on a Sabbath. All of the other healings are initiated by the sick themselves or their friends and family. And I think that says something deeper about Jesus' relationship to the Sabbath. Jesus himself says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if the main point of the Sabbath is to restore life, that's exactly what Jesus does. We serve a Lord who acts with compassion, even when that compassion breaks the rules. In light of that, I wonder what field Jesus is walking through in my life, in your lives. What ears of corn is Jesus plucking from our rituals, our sacred rituals? Who is Jesus healing that we believe should remain sick? What is Jesus doing here today that makes him look a little foolish? Or worse yet, dangerous? In what ways is Jesus embodying the opposite of what we assume a holy person should be? And would we rather kill Jesus than be transformed by his love? So I invite you this week to spend a little bit of time thinking about Sabbath keeping. What gives you rest? What gives you joy? What makes you feel closer to God? Spend some time reflecting on God's intention for you and for your community. Take notice of those rules that we follow that might be separating us from God and from one another. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Eat This Bread. Forgot you can't hear me. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. The people will come from east and west and north and south, and they will sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not even a Presbyterian table. This is Christ's table. And our Savior invites all those who trust him to share in the feast which he has prepared. May the God of the Sabbath be with you.
And also with your
spirit. We lift up your hearts to God.
We offer them to the one who fills us with grace.
Sing glad songs to the one who is always faithful.
We shout for joy to our God, who is our strength.
By the time you decided to take a break, God of incredible imagination, the word had whispered and the birds began their morning songs as owls were learning their lullabies. The spirit had breathed and water sparkled in the moonlight as babies took in great gulps of wonder. You shaped us in your image, handing us tambourines and lyres so we could rejoice with you forever. But we listened to the silent whispers of sin and preferred to play death's dirges. Prophets, those women and men who knew you, came to bring us words of hope and healing. Yet we continued to be bullied by fear and burdened by temptation. That's when you decided to send your heart, your child, who would come so we might find our way home with you. So with those who are full of themselves as well as those who empty themselves for others, we join our voices in praising you. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of the Sabbath. All creation shouts for joy to you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who teaches us true Sabbath keeping. Hosanna in the highest. In your holiness, God of the faithful, you could have remained aloof from us, but you chose to know our lives by having your child come to us. In becoming one of us, the Bible made every birth a sacred moment. And walking our streets, Jesus made every neighborhood holy ground. In sharing your hopes for us, Jesus made every Sabbath free from fears. In knowing our pain, Jesus gave us the strength not to be crushed. In hearing our cries for hope, Jesus turned our voices into songs of grace. In experiencing our death, Jesus broke sin's power over us as your resurrection grace became the promised hope of everyone. As we remember his life and ministry among us, as we give thanks for his death and resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died not because of rules, but for relationships. Christ was raised, so the resurrection grace is for all. Christ will return, so we will be joined with you forever. Here, on this holy day, and in this sacred space, pour out your Holy Spirit on your people and the gifts of bread and the cup. Though we often feel like empty, fragile containers, may the broken bread give us the strength to go out to serve your people, those who are bullied by classmates, those who are dealing with pain and grief, those overwhelmed by fears. And may the cup of grace nourish us to be able to go into the world, to stand with the forgotten, to bring healing to the broken, to lift up those knocked down by hate. And when we are united with those of every place and from every time, we will join our siblings around your table of holiness and grace, shouting our joy to you through eternity. God in community, holy and one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, Do this in remembrance of me. Every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please pray with me. Christ Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, you have come to this house to eat and drink with us. You have fed and filled us with the grain of the field and the fruit of the vine, with the strength of your word and the life of your spirit. Now send us forth in service to share your gifts with others. Let us scatter the seed of justice and harvest the fruit of peace, all for the sake of your eternal realm and the glory of your holy name. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing
verses. Okay, good. Before we go out into the world, let me offer you a charge and a blessing. In a world filled with doubt that looks to the letter of the law, go now as the letter of love. And remember that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you wherever you go. Amen.